I'd like to begin by simply introducing you to my family. Unfortunately, they can't be with me tonight, but next best thing, I've got a photo for you. This is my family. We are the ABC Club. It's my wife. Her name is Ashley. She is the queen of the tribe. And then the little guy standing on his own 2 feet. He's now 11. Incredible young man of God. His name is Braden. And then the little girl that I get the privilege to hold there, her name is Claire Bear with beautiful hair who loves to share. She's a doll. I love her so much. And then that awesome dude that my wife is holding, he's a true blue New Yorker, born and raised in New York. His name is Elliot. And so A is for Ashley, B is for Braden, C is for Claire, D is for Donnie, E is for Elliot, F is for our dog named Frankie. I wanted to name him Finished, but I got vetoed. And we are Metro missionaries to the great country of New York, home of 8 million people from 200 different countries of the world, speaking 700 different languages every single day. I would like to show you a small glimpse of our journey. Please turn your attention to this video on the screen.
New York City. Glamorous, isn't she? Did you realize that 1.8 million people call Manhattan home? 8 million people live in the city limits and 20 million people in the Metroplex. She is fast and furious, the city that never sleeps, the light to many. A little overwhelming. But how does one start to make an impact in such a city? How about a Bible study? This is our story.
We have to go, and we won't stop till the whole world knows the power in your blood to save every soul. We're not ashamed of the gospel. The harvest is ready. We won't stop till the...
This community belongs to God.
And in the past 7 years, we have seen at least one person from 20 different nations of the world baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Can I tell you that there is a global harvest right now in North America? It does not matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what nation you come from. There is still a group of people who believe. That is whosoever will. We believe the Holy Ghost is for everybody. We believe Jesus' name baptism is for everybody. And God is calling you, and God is calling me to take a step of faith and see the greatest outpouring of revival that the world has ever seen. Tonight, it is my goal and my passion to do one thing. I've got one objective tonight, and that is to simply increase your faith and make you believe that the thing that God has called you to do, you can do it. Now, what I've learned since we've made the decision to move our family halfway across America, I'm originally from Louisiana, is that there have always been some God stories along the way. Because here's a solid truth. Miracles always follow faith. See, we want it the other way around. Say, oh God, give me a miracle and then I'll believe. And God's like, well, if you take a step of faith, you'll see a miracle. If you need a miracle story in your life, take a step of faith. Just see. 2017, Dr. Irvin Baxter came to New York to do a prophecy event. And I had been living in New York for a little while at the time and decided to go and sit in this room. We're in Times Square. I'm sitting in the back of the room. And then once the event was over, you know, I walk up, introduce myself, Donnie Willis, local pastor. Thank you so much for coming and investing in our city. He looks at me and goes, we've got some people to go baptize. And so I was like, all right, let's go. So we go get in an elevator, go down to the basement of this building right in the middle of Times Square. And that day we ended up baptizing over 20 people in the name of Jesus. It was an absolutely beautiful event. After it was over, you know, we're standing there in the lobby and I'm pretty amped up. I'm already an amped up guy anyways. It doesn't take much. And so I've gone from 10 amps to 40 in half a second and like, yeah, let's go. And I looked at him and I went, so what's next? What a dumb question. Never ask what's next. And he turns around and he grabs a stack of contact cards and he places them in my hand and he speaks three words into my life that forever changed me. Three words that what would begin as a Bible study on Thursday nights. And can I just go ahead and pause and say, wow. Y'all's music is awesome. Y'all's music team is awesome. Aren't they great? Like, it's good, folks. Like, really good. Like, I'm crying over here, not from a move of God, but just from how good it is. And we wanted music like that too. But here's the problem. I am not musically inclined. And my wonderful bride is amazing in a lot of things. But we have determined that when we sit by each other at church, we're not singing and clapping at the same time because we will mess the whole thing up. And so got this bright idea. I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set up a projector and I'm going to create a YouTube playlist of apostolic music. And I'm going to show the videos. I'm going to make sure there's crowd shots in it. That way I can tell everybody there, I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to watch these videos. And whenever they clap, you clap. When they raise their hands, you raise your hands. When they cry, you cry. That's how it's going to work. And then you're going to feel something you never felt before. The Holy Ghost is going to fall. Whenever the Holy Ghost falls, it's going to be the best thing that's ever happened in your life. Everybody got it? All right, I'm going to go hit play. Walk back, hit play. People begin to clap and raise their hands. They weren't doing it because they felt anything. They were doing it to be nice. But eventually, the atmosphere in the room began to change. And I remember one night, I was like, man, this is actually working. And like, you could feel it. And it was like the tension in the room was rising and it was going to explode. And I'm thinking we might be a real church one day. I might be a real pastor one day. God is so good. And then right at the height of it, political ad. I looked at my wife and I said, hey, babe, get me that credit card because we need YouTube Premium and we need it now. But what started with YouTube worship this month, we will actually celebrate 5 years of a Sunday church in the heart of Manhattan, New York. Has it been easy? No. But has God been faithful? Every step of the way. Sometimes we think that all the stars have to align in our lives before God can use us. But God is looking at you and saying, if you'll just take one step of faith, if you'll just have one conversation, if you will just trust me one time, I can change any environment into a place where my spirit can fall. So I'm standing in the lobby holding this stack of cards and I look at him and whenever he puts them in my hands, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? He turns around, places his hand on my shoulder and Brother Baxter just goes, follow the cloud. Turns around and walks out of the building. And I'm left there standing there going, what is he talking about? Follow the cloud. So what is this cloud? This cloud is a physical picture of a spiritual truth that we find in the book of Exodus. God is leading the Israelites out of Egypt into promise, and he gives them a cloud to follow, one step at a time. Exodus 13 and 21, it says this, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. Can you imagine with me what this would look like? You wake up in the morning. You step to the door of your house. You look to heaven. You find the cloud and you follow it. Hey, Dad, where are we going today? Let me find the cloud. We're going wherever that cloud goes. Dad, what's the direction that our house is pointed today? Well, it's pointed in the direction of that cloud. Where that cloud, we go. If it moves forward, we move forward. If it goes backwards, we go backwards. If it stays still, we stay still. Our entire existence and movement is centered around one thing and one thing only. We simply follow the cloud. In the Exodus, the Israelites followed an actual cloud. In the Gospels, the disciples heard the words of Jesus say, follow me. And today, we have the words of Paul whenever he said, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The cloud today is not above us, but the cloud is within us. We are not simply people who are Spirit-filled. We are people who are Spirit-led. And we have to have something inside of us that simply goes, I don't want to just have his Spirit inside my heart. I don't want to just have his Spirit inside of my life. I want his Spirit to lead me and guide me every single day. I don't always know where it's going. I don't always know what he's doing. But here's what I know. Where he leads me, I will follow. But I have found a very hard truth about following the cloud. And here's the hard truth. You ready? I am a control freak. So is he. The Israelites followed the cloud into a wilderness. Luke 4 and 1 says of Jesus, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Is anybody thankful to be full of the Holy Ghost tonight? Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Whenever it says he returned from Jordan, that means he had just been baptized in the Jordan River. Is anybody thankful to be baptized in Jesus' name? If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, Jesus was baptized. You can be baptized too. I would highly recommend you get baptized tonight. So Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Check. Jesus had been baptized. Check. And was led by the Spirit. Does anybody want to be Spirit-led? Led by the Spirit into good times, prosperity, unicorns, sunshine, and rainbows. Uncle, isn't that what happens when you get the Holy Ghost? Everything's just easier. Oh, I've been baptized now. Everything's going to be a piece of cake. I'm living for God now. No, it says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If the Spirit led the Israelites into a wilderness, if the Spirit led Jesus into a wilderness, Why do we think sometimes that just because I'm Spirit-led, the Spirit might not lead me into a wilderness? What if the wilderness we're experiencing is not because of life, or maybe not because of the devil, but simply because we're being Spirit-led? I've got the Holy Ghost now. It's supposed to be easier. I've been baptized. It's all supposed to be rainbows. I'm in ministry, so I'm supposed to teach and serve, and life's going to be good. But instead, why is the business going down? Instead, why is the child getting into trouble? Instead, why is this relationship so hard? And here's the problem. We may never know why. Now, there's a song. I told you I'm not a singer, but I'm going to sing to you anyways. Oh, don't say yeah yet. There's a song that's been in my spirit. And it just goes like this. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation. That my trials only come to make me strong. So I thank him for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in his word could do. That's the reason I say through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. We don't always understand why stuff happens. I mentioned a story to Pastor today in the office. My first Bible study in New York. I had my Bible study chart under my arm. I am ready to conquer the world. This is a big dude. He was a hockey player, semi-pro. His dad was a coach for the New Jersey Devils. Just, I mean, cool dude. Invited me to a couple rock concerts because we were studying the book of Exodus, and apparently there's a rock group called Exodus. I don't know. He's like, you want to go? And I was like, ew. I love what I do and where I do it. It's never a dull moment. But I show up one day to teach a Bible study, and, you know, it ended in a burial, but not in water. I found him dead. Show up for a Bible study, got the chart under one arm. 911 call and the other praying the prayer of faith. Like, God, raise him up. God didn't. And me and God had major issues over this. I boycotted prayer for like 3 months. Me and God were not on speaking terms. I was very upset. I'd show up, I'd preach because it was my job, not because I wanted to talk to him. It was like, we left everything. We left our families. We left babysitters. We moved to New York so that you could do this. And boycotted prayer for a good 3 months. And then but you can only boycott a relationship so long before you crack. And so jump back in. I was like, hey, We need to talk. This is what I think about this. And I am so explicitly mad at you right now. Thinking I am about to get lightning strikes, hellfire and brimstone on my head because of the way I had just talked to God. But instead, he never told me why. He just simply said, if I've ever heard his voice, I heard it here. It is so good to hear your voice again. Because here's what I've learned. Trusting God, and or should I say it like this? True faith is trusting God when things don't make sense. It's believing that he still holds the world in his hands when it doesn't make sense. It may seem uncomfortable, you don't understand it, but deep down, you know that I'm gonna wake up today and I'm gonna find that cloud and I'm gonna find his spirit and I'm gonna follow him again. And if he's leading my steps, I don't have to figure out the why. I just have to be able to say, Jesus, I trust you today. I trusted you yesterday, and I'm going to trust you today, and I'm going to trust you tomorrow, and it doesn't matter what comes in my life. I will always trust you. The most spiritual people I've ever met were not people who prayed 26 out of 24 hours in a day. They weren't people who fasted 8 out of 7 days a week. They were simply people who had been through stuff and kept their faith. When you look at them, you say, how did you keep your faith? I don't know. All I know is I trusted him again and again, and he's been good, and he's been sweeter. I don't have to understand. I just trust him. And I love how Luke 4 and 14 tells us. It says, Jesus returned. You could insert from the wilderness there. Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. But he received the power after the wilderness. Because the only way to receive spiritual power is to just go through stuff and keep your faith. I know you might be in a wilderness right now, but if I could just encourage you, wake up, step to the door of your house, find heaven, find the cloud, and simply say, today I'm going to be spirit-led. Today you're going to direct my steps. Today I am going to be led by you and not by my flesh. And no matter what comes my way, I'll lift my voice and say, hallelujah, anyhow. No, whenever my family and I moved to New York, we had spent every dollar to our name getting there. We weren't just broke, but we were broke and poor, and I learned there was a difference. It's like, how in the world? I began to ask myself questions like, how in the world do you make an impact in this city? How do you be seen in such a city? You walk through Times Square and you're looking at billions of dollars in advertisement. Everyone is trying to be seen. We had no idea how we were going to survive, much less start a church. Every morning I prayed the same prayer. And you know, it's like the more complicated life gets, the simpler my prayers become. Like, I'm like, Lord, see these feet? I need you to lead them. Lord, you see these eyes? I need these eyes to only see the things you want them to see. Because I got a lot of distractions around me. So I need you to focus me. And this mouth, help me to speak a word in season to the weary. Lead my feet, guide my eyes, give me the words to say. Every morning, lead my feet, guide my eyes, give me the words to say. And out of nowhere, there was this family that found us on Google. I thank God for Sister Google. Sister Google's a great soul winner. She's going to be in heaven. Prove me wrong. But they were looking for a church with a strong kids ministry. And whenever you got three kids, you can make a website look amazing. There you go, church planner hack. They need to choose that one in a church planning seminar. Anyways, the mom was a high-level executive in this little company that no one's ever heard of called Macy's. And through a crazy course of events, I ended up as a stick of butter in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Yes, that parade with the terrible lip singing and the giant balloons. And that led to an appearance on the Today Show. There you go. Yep. I'll let you find out where I am in that photo. So there's another photo of me just standing there in the costume that morning, and I sent it to my wife, and I was like, hey, babe, this is for your eyes only. I don't want everything. If I'm going to run down 6th Avenue in as a stick of butter, nobody needs to know about this. What I didn't know is that this moment would end up going viral on Twitter twice for two different times. It was crazy. The Today Show called Macy's and was like, hey, who's the drunk teenager chasing Al Roker? The lady at Macy's is like, hey, that's my pastor. A lot of visibility. And you know, the truth is people move to New York all the time for one reason. Like I said, they're trying to be seen. Broadway trying to be seen. Wall Street trying to be seen. United Nation trying to be. How in the world does a broke church planner break through the noise where people spend millions just to be noticed? And that's when God dropped a bomb on my spirit. Said, this is how you're going to be seen. This is how you're going to have revival. This is how we're going to change the world. And I believe that this is not just for New York City, but it's also right here in Atlanta. And it's one scripture that the Lord gave me. This is how we're going to change the world. Zechariah 4:6. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Church, if we're going to change the world, it's not in our own strength. If we're going to make an impact, it's not by our own talent. If we're going to see revival, it will be by his spirit and his spirit only. When we wake up in the morning, we step to the door, we look to heaven and say, my direction today comes from him and him alone. I believe that God is willing to work, but who is willing to listen? So when I wake up in the morning, our prayer should be, Lord, let your spirit move in my life. Let your spirit move in my home. Let your spirit move in my marriage. Let your spirit move. I want your spirit to move. If I don't have a move of his spirit every day, what am I doing? When you become dependent on it like it's a drug, it changes everything. A while back, I sit in my office, my phone rings, I answer like, hello, and they're like, can I speak with Pastor Donnie? And I was like, this is him. And they're like, hey, this is so-and-so with CNN. And they're like, can you check your email? It's like, sure. I pulled up my inbox, and there it was. They were like, hey, former president, Vice President Mike Pence is coming into town. We need a Christian pastor to represent the Christian community. Would you be willing? I have my people get with your people. We'll see if we work something out. Actually, it was like, tell me when, where, what to wear. I'll be there. Without hesitation, it was like, I'll be there the next night. Really cool. Got to be a part of a CNN town hall. But the really cool part was afterwards. Because after it was over, I pull out my phone. I pull out my computer. I was like, I just want to see. Because they put the name of our church on the bottom, like, third of the the screen. I just want to see if anybody looked at our website because of this. And within 3 minutes, our church received over 100 hits of people in New York City. And in church planning world, that's gold. Because that means 100 people now know you exist. Somebody asked me, what's your connection? How'd you get the opportunity? And to this day, I have no idea. But here's what I do know. That morning, I went to the house of God. And I buried my face in the carpet. And I did what I don't like to do. I prayed a prayer that I tried to refrain from praying. I call it the broken record prayer, where I get stuck on one thing and it's over and over and over and over. I don't know if anybody else has ever prayed the broken record prayer. Am I alone? Oh, praise God. I'm not alone. Thank you, Jesus. And this was the prayer that for some reason I got stuck on that day. I remember. It was simply, God, open the doors you want open today, and I'll step through it. God, open the doors you want open today, and I'll step through it. God, open the doors you want open today, and I'll step through it. God, open the doors you want open today. For 1 hour, Jesus had to listen to me, and then finally, I guess it went, fine, I'll open the door. I think he was trying to prepare me to just say yes. God is the master of hidden doors. He has hidden doors in your life. He has hidden doors for your family. He has hidden doors for you. But the problem that we have, the reason we miss so many hidden doors, is because we are running through life at such a pace that we don't stop and simply ask the question, where's the Spirit at today? Now, I'm a practical thinker. What does this look like? Who has a phone with a calendar they use? I'm getting better at using my calendar. But on my phone with the calendar. So, who puts meetings on their phone? You put meetings on your phone? I've started feeling convicted about this. We're now the first meeting every day. Is meeting with Jesus. If everyone else is so important to be on my schedule, why is Jesus not important enough to be on my schedule? So I put that meeting with Jesus. And it used to be I would go in. I've got, like, if you were to pull up my phone, I've got a document on there. It's a prayer list. And it's a good 20 to 30 pages long. I don't know what the thing is. If you'd ask me to be on my prayer list, I'm putting you on my prayer list. You're going, you're getting prayed for whether you want it or not. It's happening. Man, that was a little New Yorkerish. I am so sorry. That came out strong. But one day I've got my list and I'm praying for this. I'm like, Jesus heal so-and-so. Jesus bless so-and-so. Jesus touch this family. Jesus do this. Jesus do that. Jesus do this. Jesus do that. And I am like giving him, as they say in New York, I'm giving him the business. And then it hit me and I stopped. I was like, my Lord, who is in control right now, me or you? So I put my list aside, and I got a blank sheet of paper and a pen, and I just wrote at the top, how can I be about my Father's business today? And then I stopped talking, started listening. Whatever pops in my head during that time, I block off an hour. So this is exactly how this goes. I block off an hour. I get the pad of paper. I picture myself stepping into the office of the owner of the family business. All right, how can I be about my Father's business today? For 1 hour, I don't say anything. I just listen. Whatever pops in my head, I write it on the page. And then for the last 10 to 15 minutes of that prayer time, I read through the list, and I just say, God, give me two or three things that is within my physical, emotional, and spiritual bandwidth that I can actually do today. Because I believe we should be able to do one physical activity for God every single day. Just one. I've got the bandwidth for that, and so do you. Because you know what one day of doing something for God adds up to? 2 days, and 7 days and 14 days and 365 actionable things that you did for God. God's the master of hidden doors. We just have to slow down enough to actually listen. So I was teaching a Bible study. About 10 people showed up in my office, and there was a little bit of a problem with this Bible study, and it was simply this. Mi hablo español poquito. My Spanish is horrible. I try. But they showed up wanting a Bible study, so I'm trying to muddle my way through it. Eventually, this is a big family. There was a spirited discussion that breaks out. Let me back up. I gave them a Spanish version of Into His Marvelous Light. I had my English version of Into His Marvelous Light. Praying that my page one and their page one were the same? No idea. I'm guessing at this point. I take a big Sharpie and I say, you're going to read here, you'll read here, you'll read here. We go around the room, halfway through it, spirited discussion. I can't help anybody. I don't know who's right and I don't know who's wrong. All I know is I've started family drama. Good job. I'm telling you, my Bible's... See, I hope to tell these stories to inspire you to teach a Bible study even when you don't have it together. Because half of mine, I don't have it together. I just step in and say, all right, I'm going to create an environment, and God, you've got to do something. Because if you don't, it's a mess. And so anyways, 30 minutes in, finally somebody stops and looks at me and goes, we're ready. And I was like, ready for what? They're like, to be baptized in Jesus' name. I was like, let's go. Language barrier doesn't matter. Because it's not by might. And it's not by power. But it's still by His Spirit. And whenever we create environments for His Spirit to move and flow, anything is possible. Can I tell you one more story? And then I'll shut it down. If musicians would like to come. One more story. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you. And thank you so much for indulging me in story hour. I appreciate it. Oh, before I tell this story, my project. I might want to mention that. So, project. So, we have a space that's kind of small. We have two churches. Our church in the suburbs. Chase is kind of small. We have 99 chairs in there. I say 99 because the fire marshal says I have to say 99. Okay? I don't know if y'all know anything about that. So 99 chairs in this room. Two Sundays ago, we had 105 people crammed in there. And it was amazing. First time we've ever had over 100 people, 8 years old church. Last Sunday, we had 91. And it's pretty cool. So we have a space issue. But there's like a closet. And I can't believe that I'm weeping over the fact that I'm losing a closet, because that means that my garage at my house is now going to become the church closet. But if we remove that closet, it will give us 20 more chairs. We're in a professional office building with about 20 other companies, so it's not like we can really go anywhere. But if we remove the closet, it'll give us about 20 more chairs. So the project that I'm bringing to you tonight is to help us demolish the closet. I'm so sorry, Ashley, if you're watching, that we're doing it. She likes the closet. We call it the miracle closet because we've never had a closet. We had always rented spaces, and we never had a closet. Now we have a closet, and we're losing the closet. But we're going to demo the closet, put carpet down that matches the current sanctuary, buy 20 chairs, redo the ceiling tiles, and I would love to say that we were busting down a massive wall and adding 100 new chairs. That would be great. It's just not our reality. So sometimes I have to just kind of step back and think about like the woman with the alabaster box when Jesus says, hey, she's done what she could. And so this is what we can do. So we're doing what we can do. We can add 20 more chairs. And then we're going to buy 20 chairs and all that kind of stuff. And so it's going to be somewhere around the $5,000 total to be able to do that. And so there's that, my project. Now, one more thank you for allowing me to share that. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Growth problems are good problems, right? I don't know what I'm doing, but thank you, Jesus. Man, started coming to our, man in our church works for the NYPD in the Bronx, one of the worst areas. And we're doing this Bible study, and at the time, we're doing this Bible study on Zoom. I had 14 Bible studies going at the same time. You just jump from one Bible study to the next, to the next, to the next. Just Bible studies. And in this Bible study, he stops me and he goes, "Hey, I have a question. What you got?" He's like, "Why is it that everyone in that church gets to speak in tongues except me?" He's like, "Well, do you want to?" So if you want to, you can, but if you don't want to, you won't. But I really felt like God helped me, and I looked at him and said, "Well, let's break this down. Your job," said, "you're a cop. Your job has trained you, and rightfully so, that any room you enter, there's someone that you cannot trust. Therefore, you come to church, you sit in the back corner, you scan the room, and you're looking for the one guy you can't trust. And if you can't trust, you're not going to become vulnerable. If you can't become vulnerable, you're not going to open up. If you can't open up, you can't receive. If you don't receive, you're not going to receive the Holy Ghost. If you don't receive the Holy Ghost, you're not going to speak in tongues. So we got some trust issues. Your trust issues keeping you from speaking in tongues." And he just goes, "Checks out." And I said, "But guess what? You're at your house right now. No bad guys there. Yeah, you want to get the Holy Ghost right now?" He goes, "Sure, why not?" Remember, two guys on Zoom. He's like, "Here's what you got to do. Number one, you got to repent." He goes, "Oh, like tell Jesus I'm sorry?" He's like, "No. It's what my kids say when they get in trouble and they get caught. I need you to tell Jesus you're going to change." He's like, "Change what?" "Everything. Let's break this down. Let's talk about your job. How do you treat the bad guys on your job?" It's like, "You don't want to know that." "Yes, I do. Let's go." So he went, and I wish he didn't have gone. And I was like, "All right, so your way is this way. But Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for them, do good to them, bless them. So we got your way, and we got Jesus's way. So you have to stop your way and start his. Let's talk about your marriage. How do you treat your wife? Yell, cuss, what are we talking here?" So we begin to talk about that. It's like, okay, your way. Scripture says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and died for it. So you got to stop your way and start Jesus' way. Let's talk about your kids. Do you treat them like humans or aliens? And believe me, I know there's a fine line. I get it. Scripture talks about kids being a gift from God. So let's start treating them like humans and not aliens. Ben talking about every major issue in his life. Isn't it amazing how much of life is really relational? It's like, listen, we talked about every, and he stops and he goes, "Pastor, this is impossible." And I said, "Yes, sir, it is. For you. But that's why the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is our helper. What the Holy Ghost does is it helps you keep hard decisions. Repentance is a decision that you make that you're going to change with the realization that you cannot keep those decisions on your own and you need help. And so I said, you're going to repent. And what I mean is you're going to tell Jesus, I want to change from this to this. I want to change this. I want to change all of these things. And then you're going to lift your hands and you're just going to give a cry for help. And you say, Jesus, help me keep these hard decisions. And when he begins to help you keep, that's when his spirit enters into your life, and his spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. It's like the help you need is in his spirit. But you got to acknowledge that you got an issue, and you have to ask for help. And so he goes, all right, I'll repent. I was like, good, raise your hands. Remember, on Zoom. So he lifts his hands, I lift my hands, like, let's repent. So we repented. It was beautiful. And after we repented, he goes, now what? I was like, well, it's a good question. It's like, we're just going to ask God to fill us with his spirit. I'm going to reach my hand towards you. I'm just going to put my hand toward the screen. I don't know why I said it, but it felt good. I was like, I'm going to put my hand toward the screen. I'm just going to say, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. You're going to lift your hands, feel something you never felt before. The Holy Ghost is going to fall in your room right there, and you're going to begin to speak in tongues. And he goes, just like that? Sure, why not? I was like, okay. So he lifted his hands. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost. He goes, okay, here it goes. And he held it, and I'm holding it. It's like, well, I don't know what to expect. But tears began to flow down his face. He became overwhelmed with the Holy Ghost as I saw it fall into his room. And for the next 10 minutes of his life, he began to speak in a heavenly language for the first time. And here's my favorite part of the story. The next Sunday, he wasn't sitting on the back row. He had his wife and his kids, and they were all in the front worshiping together. And God has filled every member of their family with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When one person makes a decision to follow the cloud, when one person makes a decision to let the Spirit lead them and guide them, it changes not just your life, it changes the lives of every single person around you. It creates a ripple effect that's not only for you, but it's for everybody. So whenever you wake up and you say, today I'm going to be Spirit-led, what you're saying